dog, I'm too menacing. See, we all for them Benjamins. Start when we young. Welcome to the Style and Grace Podcast, Episode 1. I'm Seth.
I'm Ryan.
My beautiful wife.
Yeah.
And we basically want to review stuff like movies and music and art. Unlike every other dickhead that has a podcast that's extremely boring and stiff and use proper language. And they're gay. They're just
no. Well, that's not the word we should use.
No.
But no, gay. We are just expressing our love for cinema, music.
I want to say our love.
Comic books, which is art.
Could have guests in the future.
Yeah.
We don't know what the hell we're doing.
I'm going to be famous,
babe. We just know that everyone else is boring. And we were thinking, every time we, because we do the Oh, I Hate Myself movie review podcast on YouTube with my best friend Russell. Ryan made her debut on the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood review, which was a smash success. And everyone loved her.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Like I knew they would.
Yeah, right.
Because she's not only gorgeous, but actually knows her shit. Because
you guys don't know me in real life.
Yeah.
That's probably why.
But she's beautiful, but is deceivingly brilliant at knowing what the fuck she's talking about.
Thanks.
But every time we brought up Nicholas Winding Refn, even if it was just like a stupid Instagram post on the OH Media page, people went fucking crazy for it. So we thought, why not make our first discussion talking about Nicholas Winding Refn? So what did we spend the last, like, well, year, but the last 3 days watching all of his movies that you hadn't seen, the old stuff like Pusher, Pusher 2,
Bleeder,
Fear X,
which I've seen before, I just needed to see it.
We literally just watched Bleeder like a minute ago.
Gruesome.
Yeah.
Fucking gruesome.
Not a great movie, but it's a good movie. Pusher, you got to think for the time, that was like in Denmark, all they had was Lars von Trier, which he was making like breaking the waves at the time.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite filmmakers ever.
I know. I've seen a couple.
He's amazing. But he wasn't making like gangster movies. Like that's why, so when Pusher came out, people must have went fucking crazy for it. So, and I watched that documentary, The Gambler, from the Pusher DVD the other day, where after Fear X, his career was basically over, similar to Martin Scorsese after making New York, New York.
Well, they compared it to Lynch making Dune.
Did you read that?
Yeah, I read that in The Ringer.
That makes a lot of sense, too. Because that was his first big movie. And what did he follow it up with? Blue Velvet.
Right.
Which was fucking...
Which is one Blue of Velvet. My favorite movies, anyway, too. So they compared it to Lynch's loss as doing, like, him... Comparing him doing Dune to,
And it's Refn's weird, because Refn's Fear X was his first English-language movie with, like, you know, American stars like Turturro and shit like that, so...
Right.
It just
his first real American movie.
And how Lynchian was that movie?
Very.
Like, so, like every little piece of it was so, like, this, even the sound design and the... Everything.
Well, just even, like, the what I took as interpretation, the conscience in his head, that red face, which is, like, I interpreted
and the
that
dream
as
like the dream-like feel to it.
The and water floor by the elevators.
Yes, that was shining, very shining.
Yeah, I thought of Stanley instantly. Anytime I really see an elevator shot,
yeah,
like that,
there's
like,
no one's made an elevator as memorable as Stanley Kubrick.
Right.
But so Martin Scorsese, after he made New York, New York, and he was all coked up dating fucking Liza Minnelli and all that shit.
You gotta be coked up to date Liza Minnelli.
He was convinced his career was over. Like, without a doubt, he was like, I'm finished. Taxi Driver and Mean Streets were all I had. That's it. It's over.
But then he wrote Raging Bull.
No,
De
Niro came to see him in the hospital when he was all sick from doing so much coke and shit, and begged him to make Raging Bull a movie. And he was, I know nothing about sports, I know nothing about boxing, I can't do it. And after like the 10th time, he was like, fuck it. I'm going to put everything I have into making this movie, and it ended up being, to this day, probably the best, not my favorite, but it's probably the best work as a director he's ever done, without a doubt. It's
beautifully shot.
the work he put into it, like, he made the fight scenes like music, basically. Like, it was it's masterfully directed.
Most people that are very familiar with Scorsese, they usually just incorporate it to mobster movies.
It's not so mainstream. Taxi Driver's been my favorite movie since I was like 12, but Raging Bull is a better movie. It's his best movie. I'm really excited about the fucking Irishman. I mean, this isn't a Scorsese discussion, but I'm so excited about the Irishman just because I feel like for Netflix to give him that kind of money and that much creative control, he's got to be really putting a lot. Like, because it's been a while since since The Departed that he had like a big popular like commercial hit, and he won his first Oscar for the fucking Departed, which is disgusting.
Insane. Yeah, that's insane.
But I think he's really. I mean, this is a story everyone wants to hear, too. The Hoffa with fucking Pacino and Pesci.
Oh, my God. It's kinda, all of them. You brought Pesci
You know Jim Norton is playing Don Rickles? Yep. That's going to be fucking hilarious.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be great. And Sebastian Maniscalco is playing Crazy Joe Gallo, which is going to be funny, too. Bunch of comedians in it. It's going to be great. We don't know. We have Too Old to Die Young, which is going to be on my list for goddamn sure.
Oh, yeah. Mine, too.
Playing in the background right now, and
so it'd be a little inspired, get some inspiration.
We've literally had nothing but ref and shit on my TV for like days, well, years.
I think a solid 48 hours we've literally been just
the only thing we didn't have access to
that I didn't see, Pusha 3
is the only thing that we didn't have access
to. Some shit's hard to find, yo.
But I mean, tracking down Bleeder, that ain't fucking easy. Good luck, folks. You want to see Bleeder? Pirate Bay.
You gotta pirate booty that shit.
You gotta pirate booty that motherfucker. God, I love this show. All right, so it's no secret what the number one on both and probably most people's lists is gonna be because it's.
It probably opened the doors for a lot of people as to who he was. I mean,
I was one of the people. I mean, I learned his movie before that, who he was, which is also on my list. But so when the trailer for Drive came out, I remember seeing it and being like, "This, this fucking movie is gonna be so good."
Might I add, I literally watch Drive every 2 weeks.
I know
it's just like
it's
I
on
love
my phone
movie.
All the time. Like it's literally.
I even have it in comic version, and I actually own
the
book.
Got you the book.
Yeah, I have the book, and I have the comic version of it. Which the art is beautiful in.
But remember how the trailer was just him at that opening, like, getaway. And he's driving. And then once the helicopter lights hit him and he starts hitting the gas. That was basically the whole trailer.
A little cool tidbit to that is that scene, when he's driving, they actually made a music video playing Passenger with Maynard from Tool, Passenger, Deftones, White Pony. They actually made a music video of him driving scenes from Drive and playing that song at the same time, which was absolutely brilliant. I don't know who made it.
I've seen some people do some great shit like that. Like, I've seen people that have made beats, like, just grab...
Like, you just took three of
scenes.
My favorite things in the world. You took they'll Drive, grab Tool, fucking, Deftones.
They'll grab scenes of people driving in a movie and just... When they turn on the radio, they'll have their beats
start
exactly playing.
That's exactly what happened.
That's
when he's listening
I've
to
seen
the game,
people do that.
He puts the game on and it turns up. And
I don't know what movie it was, but someone had a beat video where they had Michael Douglas just put a tape in, and he's driving all stressed out listening to it, and then he gets home and he puts on headphones and the beat starts playing again.
Fucking trap music.
It's fucking hilarious. It's the fucking greatest thing ever.
So back to Drive.
So number one on both of our lists is we're not going to start with number one. Well, we have to because it's gonna be because
you just
opened
the conversation.
Well,
to number
it's
one.
Obvious. It's number right. one. Our number. It's going to do top five, but our number one to save the fucking suspense is Drive for both of us for so many goddamn reasons. It would take
style, music,
Rygos. The actors, the fucking the head crush scene in the elevator, fucking.
I mean, it's not
the
as
first movie with Oscar Isaac I can remember.
That's
the first movie I've ever seen him in.
The first movie
he went on to be a fucking
I was
huge
say, he
star.
Is, and then Ex Machina was the second thing I ever really saw him in.
That's
that
the first movie
first
we ever saw in the theater.
That
Kendall
was like
Square.
Our first real
Someone
date.
Told me they just saw that the other day, and I was like, We saw that in fucking 2014 or 15 right. as soon as it came out.
It was 2015?
It was either it? 2014 or 15.
Kendall? We started at Kendall?
As soon as it came out. Yeah. Like the daily, like the weekend it came out.
Real small personal theater.
Yeah.
It was nice.
It's like the theater way before it gets
and
released at the real
theater. The end of this kid fucking talking about how bad he had to see this movie.
Yeah. Was I wrong?
Honestly had no interest in seeing it.
Was I wrong?
I just wanted to go on a date with you.
Was I wrong?
No, it was a great movie.
Would we be married if you didn't enjoy
Well, no, we probably still would be married.
Yeah, that's true. But
I've never dragged you to a movie because Seth calls the shots you on know, movies that we get to see.
Not always.
Have I ever dragged you to a movie?
I see a lot of horror movies that I don't give a shit about just because I know it'll be... Because I like seeing movies with
There's
you.
No good horror movies that have come out.
The last
Besides
Are
Midsommar.
You kidding me? We saw Midsommar fucking less than a month
ago.
Yeah,
and I drag that. That's something that we both wanted to see.
Yeah, but like, just for fun, we'll go see shit like Child's Play.
Yeah, which we did go see, which was...
Fun. I liked it. It was a fun movie.
Of course you liked it. Guys, honestly, it was fucking...
It was a stupid horror movie. Pet Sematary, like, we see these movies
oh,
for
we
fun.
We did. But Child's Play is an entirely different for Generation Y kids. It's a Child's Play for Generation Y.
No, but after watching how corny the original was, like the night before we saw it, I realized it was smart. It was smart how they adapted.
So there is no possession in this one. It's not about a possession of a doll or anything like that.
No, like everything else, it's a Black
Spoiler
Mirror
alert.
Type fucking.
Yeah, it is. It could be definitely a Black Mirror episode.
It's like a shitty Black Mirror episode.
Right. Or the new episodes of Black Mirror, because there was only good one.
Do you have a favorite scene in Drive? I was trying to... Carrie Mulligan, that was the first, like, thing that I loved her in.
Yeah, other than Gatsby, she was great.
Gatsby was that way after that. That was, like, 3 or 4 years after that.
Yeah, a few years after. My favorite scene in Drive...
That's a hard one.
Yeah,
I love the head smash scene.
I love the entire movie.
I love the... Oh, no, the opening. The opening is fucking phenomenal. The opening getaway...
Just the music that brings you in before you see the fluorescent
drive. No, and him on the phone. Yeah, the whole thing is before the opening title sequence. But
I think
when he's on the phone, he says 30 seconds fucking on either side. Anything happens between that 30 seconds, I'm yours. Other than that, it's not my responsibility.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite scenes is when they actually get away from that whole scene and he pulls into the game as everybody's coming out.
And he puts on the hat
and just
fucking walks out.
His preparation and timing and the thought
it's
into
flawless.
It for a kid who literally does not talk like the entire
movie.
Yeah,
like he seems like an autistic
right.
fucking idiot.
My second favorite scene is when he offers to drive Carrie Mulligan and her kid
what
home. And you kind of get a personal touch of who he is.
When they're driving down the
talking.
LA River.
Right.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, do you want to see something? And he brings them to that little pond. And you kind of get an insight as to who he is as a person and his sensitivity level as a human being.
It's like he's learning it at the same time.
Right. And I really liked that scene. Because it was very...
Because you see that he has, like, this brutal violence inside of him, too.
But you also see this soft side of him. As he's like so, like he's so good with their son. Billy speaks.
It's a
but
very,
he's
very, it's
good
a
with
very
them.
Odd. He's just a strange guy.
Mm. Which we never learned
and
the
Brian
name of him.
Bryan Cranston
either.
Is so good in that movie.
I love him anyway.
But
I love
I
him
know,
in
but with the broken
does.
Hip and everything.
From Malcolm,
I
in
love
the middle
him
to
in
fucking
that.
Breaking Bad. Everything in between.
When he walks like
Tremble,
my dad did when he had his hip broken. He's fucking just you know.
Shannon.
Yeah. Oh. Just can't stop thinking what we can do with all that money.
So, like, even in the book and even in, like, the comic, everything, Ryan Gosling does not have a name. He is the kid.
He's the driver.
Driver or the kid.
You put this kid behind the wheel of a car.
He can drive anything.
He can do anything.
But.
And, oh my god, Albert Brooks? Fucking forget about it. He's unbelievable in that movie. He's so goddamn good.
Also,
when he kills Shannon, too, I mean, oh, he's like, that's it. That's done. It's over. It's done.
The dude from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, Ron Perlman.
Yes,
Ron
Perlman.
He's great too.
He's
big
in.
I guess he's
like really fucking huge. He used to be. I don't know if he still is, but he's huge in French cinema. I saw this like French children's like psychological thriller that was from I want to say the early 2000s, late 90s.
You would
that
think
he was
Spanish
in.
Stuff because he's such a been in so many Del Toro projects.
I didn't even know that he spoke French. I didn't know.
I didn't either.
I didn't even know.
I just
like
know
that.
He's a liberal Jew from New York that, like, is, you know.
Is he?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Perlman. Yeah.
Big time.
That's Jewish.
I've heard him do radio, like, long form, and he just, like, says he watches fucking and screams at the news all day at his apartment. Really? Just, yeah, he's a so ultra like liberal Jew.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, big time.
I would never.
You never think that.
No, because I'm so used to seeing him.
Guy's getting mixed like a fucking
Clay Hellboy. Like I'm used to. Seeing
I love him.
Him
as dude. I watched 10 minutes of the new Hellboy, and I fucking had to turn it off.
Yeah, it was quite terrible.
Did you watch it?
I watched a little bit of it. I
couldn't get through it either. Huh?
No,
did
no.
you notice the girl from American Honey was in it?
Yeah, I didn't realize it was her
until
I watched
you saw American Honey. Yeah,
because I was a little late on that.
American Honey was great. You didn't love it as much as I hoped you did, but
it was very stylish. But it was just one of those movies.
It was a movie about nothing.
No, but it's one of those movies that makes you realize that like
prison set,
like Kids. It's about
it's
nothing.
It's just like Kids.
It's about just nothing, like Kids. But it gives you the raw reality of life.
That's
and
the
how
that's
teenage,
the beauty of it.
And I can relate a lot to it because I ran away a lot as a kid. I lived a crazy ass fucking life as a fucking teenager.
And seeing their dumpster diving with the kids at the beginning, like it's a beautiful movie.
Very much makes you rawly realize that things the shit. Is real. This shit isn't in fucking just movies.
And all the
American
dangerous
Honey,
situations
yes,
she
movie,
puts
but,
herself
right,
in. Yeah.
Just to fucking make a buck.
She made a movie called Fish Tank, that director, with Fassbender, where that was another movie about a young girl that lived in the projects with a whore mother that was dating Fassbender that
oh,
ended
I
up
saw
fucking
that with you.
Her.
You yeah,
did
yeah,
watch
yeah.
it with me.
Yep, I saw that with you.
Great movie. She actually directed all of Big Little Lies season 2 as well.
Oh right. Okay, this is the same. Okay.
Yeah, that's all the right. girl we were talking about, me and Russell on the video.
I am so late on Big Little Lies. I feel like I haven't even watched it.
I know everything about it. My wife hasn't seen it, and her fucking husband has seen every
Between
episode.
My husband and my mother, I know everything about it and all the spoilers that make me not want to watch it because you guys have
but
already
that's
spilled the beans.
Well,
to me.
Season 2 is a fucking dude.
I just want to see Alexander
Season
Skarsgård
2 had no season
Kravitz.
1 that's the best thing he's ever done.
If I can take them both.
Skarsgård was the best part of the fucking whole season 1. That's the best thing he's ever done. He was so accurate.
Have you seen everything he's done? Oh, what the
I've
fuck
seen
is the name
a
of
lot.
That movie?
I know the movie you're going to talk about.
With Ellen Page?
Yes, I know the movie you're going to talk about. I haven't seen it.
I'm trying to remember the name of
it.
You guys will probably be answering me before I even come up with it. Yeah, where he's basically a cult
leader. Yes, yes.
He's a cult leader,
but
it's like a liberal
it's
cult.
It's the most accurate depiction of domestic violence I've ever seen. Because he's such a good dad. He's such a good husband otherwise. And they have this twisted, like, sexual relationship with the violence that's connected to it. And otherwise he's a perfect husband,
right?
And then he's the most apologetic, you know, guy in the world, and then he's just a monster.
Oh, have you ever seen him? I was just gonna say the remake of Straw Dogs that he was in.
He was in that?
Yeah,
I didn't watch the remake because I watched the original. I'm a 70s man.
So The East is the movie that I'm talking about with
yes that's it that's it that's it
that where he was a cult leader.
Cunt leader.
Yeah, he was a cunt leader. And,
Dick slinger.
Slinging pipe around his cult. But he was also in the remake of Straw Dogs in 2011 with James
Madsen.
Was he the main
guy?
And,
was he the main...
Kate Bosworth.
Was he the main guy, though?
Villain-wise, yeah.
Ah,
so, if you've ever seen, I am a very old soul when it comes to horror. The original Straw Dogs is kind of terrifying.
It's
more
horrifying.
Yes, it's a very I Spit on Your Grave type horrifying. So if you guys haven't seen I Spit on Your Grave part 1 or 2,
Dustin Hoffman just being this pussy husband like that just fucking.
Well, James Madsen's the husband in this one. Kate Bosworth is the female role.
Isn't that like the Superman guy or the guy that looks like him?
James Madsen is Cyclops from the original X-Men.
Okay.
And he's also in a new show on Netflix too with Christina Applegate.
Okay.
Dead to Me with Lisa
but
Cardinale,
just,
which is amazing.
It's enraging as a guy to see like Dustin Hoffman as like this pussy with these guys like pulling all this shit with his wife. It's just hard to watch.
Well, I felt that way when I saw like The Strangers. And I see like
what's his name? Fucking
I love he was from
this
Felicity.
Is way far from Reffin, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I know. We're getting into a whole different right, fucking
so
animal.
Should we go
from, on with the list?
We go back
we're gonna have to
should
do
we
a
go
horror episode.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Well, we just did one.
I know.
Yeah, so cut it right, all right to
so my
how you want.
Five.
Your last
yes.
Pick. Okay.
It was gonna be Pusher, but I had to do it. My number five. For the style and the music alone is Only God Forgives.
Really? Number five? Okay.
Because that's the most beautiful looking movie.
Is probably... My number five is probably your number four.
What?
My number five is Pusher 2. No.
Very nice.
You tried to make y'all.
No, I didn't. I swear to God. I swear to God. And you just saw it last night.
I know. I just saw Pusha 2 for the first time last night.
But real quick, so the reason it's number 5 for me, and it's above all the Pushers,
yeah,
is because just the look is so. It's like, oh, yeah. Watching Too Old to Die Young right now. It's
Only
it's,
God Forgives is on my list.
Only God Forgives is just so beautiful looking, and
it
the
is
music.
4 for me.
All right, we're not there yet.
Yeah, but no,
I'm explaining why it's number 5
for me.
Since
you're going into depth.
Well, I'm just saying why it's just because there's no substance to it. It's the style and the music.
It's pure violence.
And the look and the ultra violence.
Yes.
And why is Pusha 2 on your number 5? There's about 10 movies to choose from.
Right, it's the only one that I haven't seen twice or more than once.
I saw it last night.
I saw it for the first time last night, and I was trying to see.
I love that it's on your list.
I loved the ending.
I love the ending, too.
It makes me love Tony so much more and not think that he's just a snitch retard.
No, he's a fucking good... He wants to be a good man.
I think it's more of the principle of the story... Of the end, where he doesn't, he realizes
the whole father conflict.
Yeah, he's been a shitty son.
He's trying to break the cycle.
He has a shitty fucking dad.
The Duke.
Yeah, and he decides last minute, let me just take this fucking boy and give him a life.
Because his baby mom is a piece of shit.
Right.
And his son's gorgeous, by the way.
Yeah, he's so cute.
He's so fucking cute.
And that bus ride, it literally stole my heart when he's looking, he takes the baby, look out the window.
And they both ball with their shaved heads. They're just, shaved heads, the baby. He's a fucking. But they're just, it's adorable. It's watching them take off on the bus after, like, Tony trying to please his dad after getting out of jail. He's just fucking up left and right.
Well, he's not even really fucking up. It's just he has
no, but everything's going wrong. Everything's going wrong.
Wait, no matter how much
whether he
does
steals
right,
a car, the wrong car, or
he means well, but he does.
He's
wrong,
trying to please his dad.
Up.
Is what
right.
It's all about. And his dad asks him to kill some woman for no. He has
his baby mama.
Yeah. And he couldn't do it, so at the end, what does he do? Fucking takes out the Duke.
He takes out his own dad. He basically, like, stabs
after
his fucking
his dad
dad's
berates
death.
Him and fucking just tells him what a piece of
slaps
shit he is.
Slaps him, and all because
the hardest
he wouldn't
part
kill
for me,
his father's baby mother.
The hardest part for me was watching that wedding toast that the Duke gave, saying,
that
oh,
it was
like
father.
A son to me,
yeah.
And Tony, I can't say that about my own son,
yeah,
but he's coming along.
Up.
That broke my fucking heart.
Not only fucking fact that you literally had a bunch of, you had a couple little kids there, and there was a strip of, like, not to the point, I wouldn't even say this was stripping. This is like quarter machine type shit. Like, she had pink out. Like, she had full spread.
Yeah.
Had a candle lit on her, like, wax everywhere. Like,
and there's a goddamn baby trying to sleep, and he wakes
Should
up holding his
for
ears.
Wedding party?
Yeah, it's an idea.
Just a little
folks, we have a wedding
yeah.
party
homage.
Coming up that we're planning, and it's going to be very sexy.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be real sexy.
It's getting more exciting than stress, let's be
yeah,
honest.
Yeah, it is. Now that a lot of other people are willing to.
Now that other people know it's legit.
Yeah, like, that we're not just all talk.
The venue's
really,
actually dope.
We are already married, by the way.
Yeah, we've been married, yeah. So, and it's not a wedding.
Soulfully, we've been married for like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
We've been legally married for only.
A couple months. All right, so. Number 4 for me is, it's me, Bronson.
Oh.
Bronsolini, because that was, I think, the first Refn movie I ever saw. I saw it on a 19-inch LCD TV rented from Hollywood, no, Blockbuster. From Blockbuster.
Yeah. Wow, that's
and a long I
time
fucking
ago.
Watched it on a fucking 19-inch LCD, and I was like, I've never seen anything like this. This is fucking amazing.
Stylish as shit. Like when he's on his own head, and it's like the black screen, his little mime.
That was the movie that started. Because you look at Pusher, there's no style
that
at all.
That was actually I think that might have been the second one that I ever saw from Refn.
What was the first?
The
Drive?
First one was Drive.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't seem
that's
to
why,
see
that's
Only
why,
God Forgives, and then I finally saw that after.
That's why Gosling wanted him. He picked him for the director for Drive, because he saw Bronson.
You know that car that he drives in Drive is his own actual vehicle.
But Gosling handpicked Refn for Drive after seeing Bronson. He was like, that's who I want to direct, the guy who did Bronson.
And you can even tell when...
And that's an early Tom Hardy. That's pre-Warrior. Yeah. That's pre-fucking Dark Knight Rises. That's pre-Inception. That's pre-fucking everything.
Wow. I loved him as fucking Bane. Like, you couldn't have picked a better actor to play Bane.
Tom Hardy is...
Killed it.
like my favorite younger actor in the world right now.
Yeah, he's gonna grow old.
Him in Peaky Blinders, him in Taboo, fucking forget about it. Taboo is so fucking good.
I'm very behind on Peaky Blinders. There's something about the show that I don't want to watch about
it.
My own people.
I love it.
I'm like, I'm not.
I love that show so much.
It's like a mobster watching something, like a documentary on like their boss. Like, it's just, it's weird.
I literally watched the whole last season at your house while you were at work. Like, fucking those two nights I was stayed at your apartment when you were at work recently. Yeah. But Bronson's just, I love it. I love Tom Hardy. I love everything about that movie. I rewatched it not long ago. I rewatched almost all these not that long ago.
I watched Bronson the other day. Remember I said I was going to...
Yes.
Part of the preparation of this, I wanted to watch all my favorites.
And that's... Yeah, that's always been one of my favorites. It's always been one of the ones
so
I recommend.
So you said that was your...
Number four.
That was your four. So...
And it's just... It's great. It's based on a true story of a real prisoner.
Yep.
It's just Tom Hardy as this barrel-chested, shaved head, mustached, just most violent prisoner in
handlebar
UK
mustache.
History. Yeah.
The and typical fighter, like...
Like that, the yeah. Old, yeah, the old school fighter.
The old school Sailor Jerry
yes.
whole look to
like
it.
Like cartoon.
The neo-traditional, trad to...
And he worked out like that to get the barrel chest, like, prison...
I mean, we've seen him as Bane. We know what he can do for
no,
weight,
but
as
he,
far
he
as muscle
he
weight.
Tried to do it like a prison body. Like a barrel chested with a gut.
Yeah. Pink. Okay.
And what's your number four, Mrs. Grace?
Oh, shit. I already told you my number four because you called it as your five.
Oh, Only God Forgives.
Yep.
Anything to add?
To what, Bronson?
No, so you fucking
Only God Forgives?
Yeah.
We should have spoke about that when we were talking about it.
All I said was fucking the look and the music.
I love the ultra violence of it.
Favorite scene? I think the wanna fight scene is my favorite. When he just goes to the guy's wanna fight and fucking he gets
oh,
his ass kicked.
Oh,
fight,
yeah. That is a fucking amazing
it's
scene.
It's a great scene. And the music is Cliff Martinez, who's been his composer since Bronson, since Drive. He's making the music to everything up till Too Old to Die Young.
Right.
He used to be Soderbergh's guy, too. He's a master. He makes those great electronic scores, and
I'm
phenomenal.
I'm super curious as to what your number three is.
Oh, my number three is Neon Demon.
Yeah, same.
Same?
Same.
It was going to be my number two.
I know that me and you had a little...
We talked about it last night.
Yeah.
And I was like... Because I love Neon Demon. It's like... Right after Drive as my favorite Refn movie because it symbolizes a Refn movie to me. Russell saw that movie 5 times in the theater.
Yeah, it was amazing.
We saw it in the theater stoned the first time at Kendall when it first came out, and we were like, that scene when the lights are flickering and they do the demon dance scene with the girl spinning.
Yeah.
We were fucking losing our minds. We were just like, this is the trippiest shit ever. And it turned into fucking... A Valley of the Dolls fucking psychotic
yeah,
fucking
definitely.
You know,
that's a good little
just
yeah,
that was his biggest influence
there, yeah.
of the
Valley
movie
of the Dolls.
Yeah.
Valley of the Dolls instead of popping pills like they did in Valley of the Dolls because the whole point of the name of Valley of the Dolls is pills back then were called dolls and that's what it's about.
So as opposed to eating the flesh? Yeah.
Yeah, so and yeah, as opposed to eating pills, they were literally they eat a girl.
And I love how he
to gain her beauty
he
in her
somehow
essence.
Managed to make it seem like Elle Fanning was this perfectly beautiful,
right.
gorgeous.
I think it was just her innocence about her
I
is
don't
what
know,
made
what,
it so
it worked
sheer.
Though it worked.
The best thing about
in her
Neon
youth,
Demon,
her youth,
should we say, is the cameo that Keanu makes.
Canoe, yeah.
Keanu makes
real
a
Alita
beautiful
shit.
Fucking
real Alita shit.
Yeah,
when he's got the 12-year-old. For 6'13", must be seen.
Real prick of a fucking...
Oh, my God, the scumbag
hotel
manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was...
I could go on and on about Neon Demon. Like, it's just so... Again, the style developed even more than it was from Only God Forgives to more neon-colored, more purple, more just... Yeah. And when she walks
beautiful.
Through... She walks through the triangle and transforms into, like, the... metaphorically transforms into, like, the... You know what I'm talking
about.
Right,
no. And just me as a fashion lover in general.
When they decide to make her the lead of the show, she's going to close the show.
Her photo shoot, that scene was super fucking creepy.
Even the beginning, yeah, when she's got her throat cut.
Oh, yeah. Because her boyfriend... Her boyfriend
the guy she met online. Yeah, the creep she met online.
Well, yeah. Her little guy friend.
Who ends up not being a scumbag.
That's actually Zoe Kravitz's husband in real life.
How the fuck did he pull that off?
Yeah, they kind of look alike.
He's ugly.
Yeah, people have the whatever.
I am not
one to call out what people think is beautiful and what people... I mean, we're sitting here thinking, like, ultra-violence and people getting their head stomped in and a nail put in their fucking forehead.
I'll go right ahead and say that motherfucker ain't beautiful. I'm more beautiful than he is. You're more beautiful than Zoe Kravitz, so...
I don't think so. But she's gorgeous. Number two.
What we're watching right now...
Yes, is also
which replaced my... number two, which was gonna... I thought I had to go with the film because Revan is, you know, a film guy. But it's like Lynch directing every episode of season three of Twin Peaks The Return.
Right.
We got to see a fucking 10-hour Revan movie, basically, with Too Old to Die Young. And we banged through this in, what, 2 days?
Yeah,
there was one day when we fucking took acid and watched 6 episodes in a row. But it's so good. You get comedy, you get... like graphic violence.
I love Miles Teller as the lead.
He's fantastic as the lead.
Yeah. A big comeback from turning down La La Land.
Yeah, he was in movie
this
jail.
This is probably the best career move that he could have done because he really wasn't in anything for a while. Like, he was in that
He wasn't
movie
in
with
anything
Jonah
good
Hill.
At all, but except for fucking Whiplash.
Yeah.
And
oh
then
my
he
God.
Fucked over Damien Chazelle by saying no and wanting too much money. But this brought him back because he's fucking great in this. I mean,
he
we got it playing right now.
He doesn't have much dialogue, but you see it.
It's like Gosling and Drive.
Right, right.
He
well,
speaks
he
by
Ruffin
spitting.
Ruffin doesn't really do... Right.
Yeah. He
as
used to.
As far as American movies, it's more of the style, and you're feeding off the demeanor and the energy off of them, so you just read it
They're
off.
Bad guys talking off a lot, though.
Right, right. They talk a lot of shit.
But the good thing about the protagonists in most of his movies aren't good guys. They're right. not good guys.
But they're not...
There
like,
is no good guys.
There is no, like, minor they're, criminal. These are, like, filthy... They rape people for a living.
No, it's... My favorite quote of the movie is, give me the worst guys you got. Like, that's my favorite quote of this whole show.
Definitely.
And I love... is it Damien?
Yes, Damien.
Damien, the, like, Jamaican dude that he works
the
for.
Rastafari
I love
guy.
Him. I, that guy was so gangster.
I love his voice. I would love
his
to just
voice
hear him tell me
is
fucking
the most
story.
Soothing thing in the fucking world.
Please
tell
me
that motherfucker was not a cop.
We both thought of the same thing.
Oh, my God.
Please tell me that motherfucker was not a cop.
And we didn't talk about the, what's his name and what's her name?
Jesus
and...
Oh.
What is her name? Shit, that's gonna drive me crazy. The angel that
I have it literally.
The high priestess of death. What's her name?
It's like Yelzelda or something like that.
And the weird fucking
the weird relationship.
The
that
weird
they have.
Oedipal complex with him and his fucking
his
mother.
Mom, yeah, he has like severe mommy issues.
Oh my God,
we're not really
he literally
sure.
is supposed to have seen his fucking mother in this woman's vagina.
Right, but we're not really sure if...
Yaritza.
We're not really sure if the case is that his mother really started molesting him, and that's why he grew this sexual
I don't think
attraction
so.
With his mother.
I don't
or
think
he
so.
Just had a sexual attraction with his mother. His mother was killed.
His mother was beautiful.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But I wouldn't...
But his mother was basically like a Pablo Escobar of the cartel.
She was the connect in the United States.
Right.
Which is what he becomes.
Right, and she... tried to raise
and
him
I love
as Americanized as she could.
I love the scene when he becomes a man, basically, when he bitches out the guy, when they come, he comes to their house in the United States, and she wants
and
to fucking, to deliver her gun.
Mule.
Yeah, he's like, you're a fucking wetback. Get down
I
on your knees
loved that
and
scene.
Bark like a fucking dog.
For me, he became a man when he literally executed an entire fucking
Well, he had to prove himself in front of his
force.
Cousin in,
right.
when he was in Mexico.
But no, truly when he became a man is when he was just like, are you fucking kidding me? To that
yes.
guy that is
you
just,
fucking
you are just a scrap metal type of fucking piece of shit. Go have your fucking burrito truck. He was like in nothing but a fucking
wet
bag.
Then
he made him get it on his knees and bark like a dog.
Yeah. And he really fucking... She was so gangster too. She had
the diamond plated kind of gun. Put it into him.
Of course she did.
He fed off that energy. Like this girl. What? Fucking
what?
Badass.
What happened when he said, "Why did you come to America with me?" Because I scare
your cousin.
His
scared
cousin.
Him.
Yeah. Because she was there. She was taken in by
the
old
girl.
Man.
Yeah.
She was taken in by his cousin's father.
Yeah. The uncle. Yep. The old uncle who was running things down in Mexico.
Yes. And he was like, she was like his caretaker. She took him in. She's literally this high priestess of death. That's
so
possibly
she's
like a comic book character. Like she's like not like fucking, you know.
But how she becomes that way is because part of the cartel, what they do is they do human trafficking. So they will take girls across state lines, ship them off, and sell them to other cartels.
Yeah, and suddenly these shipments start going missing,
yep.
And the women start disappearing.
Yep.
Because she's murdering all
think,
the cartel
yeah,
members
they think
and
that
freeing
other
them.
Cartels are going against them as far as.
But she's so smart, she's doing it little by little. Like,
right. She's not going too
in the
hard,
scenes
too
of
fast.
Her taking them out, like at that hotel, when the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh beautiful.
But
she's just hemming people in half.
I really
like,
wish they would do like a follow-up of that. Which
they made an announcement that it's done.
I really
I
wish
love
they
it
would
as a standalone.
With,
I love
Jenna
it as a standalone.
Jenna Maloney, because Jenna Maloney.
Jenna Maloney. We'd have a there's so many parts of this 10-hour reference.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, it's longer because every episode's like an hour and 15 minutes.
But Jenna Maloney is. I mean, she
Jenna
was
Maloney,
in the
Demon. Oh, we didn't talk about fucking John Hawks. Like he's one of my
John
favorite
Hawk
parts
Hawk.
Of the show. Johnny Hawk the Cock.
Yeah.
He is one of my favorite parts of the show, is this, like, former FBI guy who's, you know...
Teamed up with Jenna.
Yeah. She's, like, his spiritual guider, basically, and
she
directs
is,
him to... She works for people that
she
are
is
abused
a, like, abuse,
kids.
She's an abuse advocate for children who
supposedly.
Are molested, raped, but she has, like, this little, like, Reiki... office off the side where she like has them talk and spill their feelings under some crystals,
like Scientology, like they're fucking
Reiki yeah. Is just like a thing of energy.
Yeah, Scientology holding on to the fucking cans and talking
no,
about yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's the
there's
same
no alien in the sky here.
Yeah,
there's no,
sure there
there's
is.
No using your secrets against you with her.
This isn't Fargo season 2. There's no alien in the sky. No, but. That was a big part of the show. That like she was basically looking for a replacement for John Hawks because he's sick.
Yeah.
And that is gonna be
but
Miles
she also
Teller.
Has visions. She has these odd visions that.
Yeah,
never
she
really
has like a weird second, supposedly weird second sight, kind of like
right.
What's her name in Peaky Blinders has the
well,
the gypsy
most
second sight.
Pikeys have
yeah.
a second sight. But no, she goes into this like weird shop and there's this like. Old like Dragonona looking woman.
Yes.
Woman.
Oh my god!
Goes,
I forgot about
vision,
that. I forgot about that.
And it's this woman basically walking through flames. And I think in the restaurant she realizes that it's Yaritza that is the one that's going.
She's
to
seeing
save.
The High Priestess of Death.
Right,
yes.
Yeah.
Because she's doing like, the same
the
work.
Yeah.
She's doing the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like a yeah. That's actually a very smart theme. We got to mention that Ed Brubaker co-wrote the entire thing with
yep.
Refn, and that's why Refn is a good writer, but. When he's co-writing, whether it's Hubert Selby Jr. or Ed Brubaker or whatever, or it's someone else's script like Drive, he does his best work.
Yeah.
Our top two were not written by him. He wrote Neon Demon, but he co-wrote this with Ed Brubaker, and Drive was just written by someone else. I think it was Rami Salem or something like that. I forget his name.
You forgot his name?
I forget his name, the writer of Drive. But... Yeah, Too Old to Die Young's number 2 for both of us, and Drive is number 1 for both of us.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
And it's amazing because we've been fans of him for as long as we've known each other, and this is how old? A few months?
Yeah.
And it's number 2 on the list.
Yeah, definitely. And I've already watched all of, like, basically I've watched this whole thing about 4 times total.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Because there's just like a, I don't know, it's like
you
a
can just throw on, you can
throw
on
an episode.
A random episode
yeah.
too. Like he kind of, Russell told me that he did kind of do that on purpose, where you could like watch each episode individually, like you know...
You can just start from anywhere.
Yeah, like, you can just watch one whenever. And I told Mike I would mention his list, because it's interesting.
Mikey!
From... He went top to bottom, which I did too.
You're going to do what? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? No, or are you going to do 1,
no,
2, 3, 4, 5?
No, he went every movie. Okay. I did the same thing.
Okay.
So starting from the bottom to the top, Fear X, which he says he never saw, Valhalla Rising, Pusher 3, Pusher 2, Neon Demon, too low, Mike, Pusher, Only God Forgives, interestingly high, Too Old to Die Young, I'm in at number 3, Bronson is number 2,
wow,
and Drive is number 1.
And you said Totoro is, like, Mike's
favorite actor yeah,
and he hasn't seen Fear X yet.
Very weird.
That's interesting.
Mine from the everything was Valhalla Rising is my least favorite.
Yeah, Valhalla is my least.
Fear X is my second least. Pusher 3, Pusher 2, Pusher 1, Only God Forgives, Bronson, Neon Demon, Too Old to Die Young, and then Drive. But it would probably be close. I mean, me and your list are usually pretty fucking close, which is kind of... I like when they're different. What were we talking? Lynch, it
we
was Lynch Projects.
Lynch Projects were very
different. No, no, we're going to have to redo that, so don't say what it was, because we didn't release that episode.
Because now that...
Lynch is more important to us than fucking
now
anybody.
Now that the new Twin Peaks is already out, because that came out... I think it was out at the same time that we actually
We were probably watching
discussion.
It at the time, right. Yeah. God damn it. That could be number one, like...
Yeah, I think it is.
I'm sorry, but
I think
Twin Peaks,
we're spilling the beans before we even make the.
You know what? People knew Drive was going to be number one anyway, so fuck it. Twin Peaks is David Lynch's best shit ever. So after The Return, get the fuck out of here. You don't think that's true? You're not. You're either my father or you're not a real like David Lynch fan. But I think that about covers it as far as Nicholas Winding Refn. I mean, we couldn't fucking go. We could talk an hour on every one of these projects, but
right. But if you definitely haven't seen a couple things, I mean, there's a couple things on Amazon right now that are free. Neon Demon, I think, is still on there.
Yeah, because he made it for Amazon Studios.
Right, right, right. But
it's always going to be on Amazon.
Too Old to Die Young. And I believe Drive is on something right now. I want to say it's either on HBO or...
Really?
HBO On Demand. Yeah, I get notifications on Refn movies on my Roku. It's one of the directors I have flagged. So anytime one of their
That's
movies is
cool.
free on the internet, I have him on there.
That's got to be a Sling thing, maybe. Because that does it all cross-platform.
Well, no. I do my whole Roku. It goes through every streaming that I
have available. I didn't even know
Roku
did that.
Yeah, if you go to, like... I have a really old Roku, but I have a few directors
and
I have.
If you don't know this, or if you haven't seen it, go on YouTube. Oh, I Hate Myself is the name of the channel. OHIHATEMYSELF. Oh, I Hate Myself, one word. That's the reviews with my friend's channel, which became me and his channel.
Yep.
And occasionally Ryan for the big stuff, because she's too pretty to be on there too often. And
yeah, right.
But we have a fucking half hour review on just Too Old to Die Young.
Yeah.
Because it's that fucking big of a review. That's a great video. And we review old stuff, new stuff, but mostly new stuff. So check it out. We're going to try and figure out a way to get this audio not only put out where podcasts are, but also get it posted up on the YouTube page as well. And if we do, it's going to be on the same channel.
Yeah,
because
we are going to be umbrellaed under the Oh,
it's
I
gonna,
Hate Myself.
Oh, I Hate Myself is going to be the OH Media Network, basically, if we pull it off successfully.
Yeah.
So it's Oh, I Hate Myself on YouTube. The Instagram page is...
Oh, I Hate Myself, all one word.
I believe so.
Yes. Is.
Let me see. Yep. Oh, I Hate Myself reviews, one word.
Okay.
So follow that, and I'm at sgrace1700, and Rye is _ry138.
Always 138.
Check
bro.
Us the fuck out. Well, I'll put something about this
and
up on the
keep in
on
mind
the
this is
Instagram.
The first one we are literally having.
We know
our
what the
coffee,
fuck we're doing.
We're just woke up.
We're in our pajamas watching fucking Too Old to Die Young right now.
I'm squeezing this in before work.
Yeah, this is just something we're gonna do every week for fun.
We
so.
Will have more less categories.
Yeah.
We will have.
We'll figure out how to do
more
this.
More of an itinerary and know what we're doing. I mean, feel free to give us a little help.
And
let us know what you want to hear. if and you share the same interests as us.
We're
going to
be fucking way too honest.
But this isn't just going to be movies or show reviews as well.
It's
that
be
is
everything.
More the guys. We'll the guys are into that.
We could have fucking guests at certain points. We could talk about our fucking marriage for 40 minutes at one point.
Right.
We're going to probably be
shit-faced
sometimes.
Possibly some comedian guests that are actual real comedians.
Yeah, possibly some musician guests that are actual musicians.
We do know a couple of people.
Nice people, have some friends.
We have little connections.
And, you know, our partner from the network is going to be on at some point.
Close RZA.
And just whatever the fuck we want to talk about. We're just not going to be stiffs like a bunch of these other assholes that are just
boring. We're
real
people. With some real weird interests.
And we're not
going
to censor our language. And we're just two fucking married assholes from Boston that just like to talk shit. So, fuck you. I love you.
617 in this motherfucking bitch.
All right, folks. That's it.
Later.